out of the two of you, which one actually knows me. Because I have a feeling neither of you listen to me most of the time. So I just wanted to throw it out the quiz. Yeah, exactly.
What's that?
Sorry, I was just getting groggy.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
Is that Pantene?
Well, JJ, what did you say?
Are you using Pantene these
days? No, what did you say before that?
Oh.
I like that a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
The little purr growl?
Well, I like the compliments. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
your girl's feeling thirsty.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You got it. You got a guy who's putting out.
Yeah, no, and he's always complimenting me. It's just sometimes, you know, you want to hear it from everywhere. Fuck, who doesn't want it? JJ, you look fantastic. Look at those muscles. Doesn't that feel good to hear?
Not from you, not particularly, because I know you're bullshitting. We have a hi, everybody. Welcome to Unfiltered with JJ and Melanie, episode 77.
77.
This will be the last episode of the season. We're going to take a few weeks off for summer. There's someone knocking on our door right now. Let me let them in. We have a special guest on the podcast today. Who could it be?
Hello?
Somebody who doesn't know how to work their camera properly because they're all sideways.
Hey, you guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Who is this?
We're recording already, Chris.
Oh, are we? Whoa. All right.
And you're sideways.
Oh, do you want me to be the other way?
You can be sideways.
Well, it'll look a little weird for the audience, so maybe turn it if you can.
Yeah, hang on. Let me just...
So while he's fucking around with his camera, Chris Bodden is my other co-host.
Yes.
The other man.
He's the other man in my life.
Your only co-host. I can only imagine how this poor guy feels when you're like, my other co... You only got the one... I'm not like the other guy. You're not two-timing on him.
Well, okay, but you
he
and
is
I...
your current and main co-host.
On the radio.
Who you do a silly podcast with.
Okay, you're my co-host on the podcast, and JJ and I used to co-host. So, I mean, like, I still... Chris is the same. Chris... No, oh, there he is.
Why don't we all
Hi.
Go sideways? Oh, there
yeah,
he is.
There he is.
Is that better?
Much better.
Okay, what if I do this? You guys were upside down. Is that better?
This is totally, yes, you're good.
All great.
This is totally like a Zoom live session. How do I, is that, am I on? Can I, how
yeah,
do I let you
I
in?
How it do feels I, like a work I, conference.
Yeah.
How are you, man? Welcome to the podcast. This is
thanks,
your first
guys. Thanks
time
for having
visiting
me.
Us.
What's that, sorry?
I say this is your first time visiting us.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, I was feeling bad that I had to bail on you last week, and I was excited to be on. You guys don't have guests on very often, so I'm honored. Thanks.
Aw, such a good guy. I love you, Chris. You're so sweet.
Oh, and
where are your headphones and all your shit? Where's your studio? Chris Bodden.
My studio is still in boxes. We just moved, so I'm on my phone.
Oh, okay.
We don't even have internet right now.
Oh, shit. You're running on like...
It's a whole thing, yeah.
How many bars are on your phone right now? Are you going to last?
Yeah, I got 4 bars.
Okay, cool.
Should be all right.
Good.
Yeah.
So Chris Bodden is, like I was trying to say, he is my co-host. We've been working together for what, like 3 years now, Chris? Is it 3?
I believe it's 4, Mel.
Wow.
Yeah.
A long time. And I was like, I'm just going to be passing through. It'll be just a minute. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I was here a year before. I was here in Barrie a year before, year and a half before Melanie. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I also said the same thing, Mel. Yeah, I'm just here for a stopover. So I'm familiar with that.
I seem to recall having same aspirations when I was teamed up with Melanie. It's like, yeah, I'm going to bounce as soon as I can.
Okay. This
10
is
years
not-
later.
This is not a roast Melanie session.
No, isn't it?
Oh, it's not? I thought that's what we're talking about.
Nobody wants to hear all the roast, although it's fine. I'm totally okay with it. But Chris, you like before Barrie, so you like just you've got quite the background in radio though. This is your thing. This is your shtick.
Yeah, I'm like a journeyman. You know how like in baseball or hockey, there's like journeyman hockey players who just get traded around to various teams. That's kind of like been the taste of my career. You know, I've been like, oh, I'm in Kingston. Oh, I'm in Hamilton. Oh, I'm back in Kingston.
Right.
You know, like I'm jumping around all over Ontario.
Yeah.
You know,
But now you guys have made quite a name for yourselves up in Barrie. Number one morning show in the region.
What? Who said that?
Yeah. Listen, okay, so.
What?
I don't.
Let's be serious for a second on who listens to our show. We just had some really great results recently where we finally are beating the local Christian rock station.
Hey,
that's dynamite. Nice. Yes, raise the roof.
And when I was
we're beating Jesus.
When I was here it'll be my 5 years since we launched this station in August. And when we launched the station, it was, it wouldn't be great if we had these numbers.
Right.
Well, guess what? These numbers finally came in five years later.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations to the both of you. It's not easy to achieve. A lot of times you'll get these programmers, not to go all, inside baseball here, but you'll get these programmers will be like, yeah, we're at a 0.1 share right now. I figure get you guys up to a 3 share in 6 months. And you're like, you're so, happy initially because you got a job and you're like, yeah, we'll make that happen. And then 5 years later, it's like, fuck.
Yeah, it was a grind to get there.
Yeah, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. People do not like to change their listening habits. So congratulations. I think that's huge for you guys.
Yeah,
it's been good, man. We're content, I guess. Chris, he's also a stand-up comedian. Did you know that, JJ?
I did.
Yeah, okay. So you obviously haven't been on the circuit for like a minute.
I was going to say, it's 2 years removed since I did a stand-up comedy show, because of this little thing you might have heard about. It's called the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes, normally I would be. Actually, our new place that we just moved to has this massive back deck, and I put it on my Instagram, and a comedian friend of mine does this thing, the backyard comedy tour, where he's going around Ontario to different people's backyards and doing stand-up, and he sent me a DM, and he's like, yo, we got to do a back deck comedy show. And I mentioned it like for 2 seconds to my wife, and she's like, the fuck you are. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Because on top of all these things, you're also a new dad.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Wonderful.
Fran spanking new dad.
She's rocking.
Oh, there she is.
Adorbs. Hello. And your wife.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, Lisa's back there putting stuff away.
Oh, yeah. And Lisa.
Yeah.
Listen, that was actually pretty good because Chris also has a podcast, and he introduced Blair to the world via the podcast. And
it's good that she's sitting down this time.
Yeah. And he almost dropped her. So the first introduction, he put her up to the video to show, you can go and check out his podcast and see the video, but he legit tried to like show the world his baby, and she was all like, it wasn't a great start. It wasn't a great start, Chris.
You fucked up the Simba pose.
When I told Lisa I was coming on your guys' podcast tonight, she was like, great. And I was like, and Melanie said that it'd be great if I had Blair, or that's the name of our daughter. It'd be great if I had Blair on camera too. And she just looked at me. She's like, not after last time. So she's in the chair. And yeah, I folded her up like a lawn chair or like an accordion or something. Yeah. Anyways, she made it. She's okay.
Yeah. It's going to happen. Babies are slippery. They fall.
Yeah, they are, right?
Yeah.
Crazy slippy.
What the fuck?
It wasn't my fault. She was slippery, Vaseline and all this shit you got to put on them.
So and the amount of like stuff that we got like this baby oil and that baby oil. This is the after bath baby oil. This is the before bed baby oil. This is the good morning foot rub baby oil. We got it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Got to keep them lubed up.
Yeah. Getting lubed up was the problem, I think.
That's where it started, didn't it? Yeah.
Okay. So Chris, you're all brand new at this. Are you going to do it again? Or are you done? Is it like one and done for you guys?
No, I have already seen a vasectomy consultant.
Yeah.
And the only reason I haven't probably got it done by now is that there's a wait list and it's also non-essential surgery. Therefore, you can't do that right now because of the pandemic. Right. But I did see the consultant and he had me into his office and he had me drop trowel. I didn't know it was this big a deal. Like he inspected me, and like he grabbed my boys, like,
yeah.
He tugged them in opposite directions. And I was like, I think he crushed them. Like, I think he did the job right then and there. I don't think I need to go for the actual surgery now.
Well, believe me, that is not the worst of it. When you're in the process, the smell of your own flesh, ball flesh, being cauterized is not the easiest thing to stomach or maintain. And we'll give you
nightmares. I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't good.
So it's you've had it, JJ?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. It's horrendous. And my dude was on the phone. He's with this and, you know, cauterizing my seminal, my sperm pipes, and on the phone with his other hand. It's like he was not paying attention. He's like, yeah, I'm almost done here.
You know what, though? I would be more confident with a guy who's like a near Uber driver, you know, with his earpiece in, talking to his cousin or whatever while he's cauterizing your vas deaf.
Yeah,
it's way better than if he's on the phone with tech support being like, okay, so which wire do I cross here, which
like it's a bomb.
More concerning to me. Yeah. That's way more concerning.
Be prepared to if I may come blood for the first little while after.
Oh, I remember you saying that, JJ.
Yeah, it's fucked up, dude. It is fucked up. So heads up, that's gonna be
I've shot puffs of smoke before, but never blood.
Smoke.
Yeah. Well, that's how we ended up in this situation. Unhealthy in my 20s. I was like pushing 500 pounds and like, you know, and just not a very healthy person in my 20s and early 30s. And I figured I was shooting puffs of smoke because I was so unhealthy at those in those times. So the fact that we have a baby is a pure miracle.
Well, congratulations again. I know you didn't ask for it, but I have some unsolicited advice for you.
Wait, I heard your last podcast.
I was gonna say, you actually want the unsolicited advice though, Chris?
I don't get uppity about the unsolicited advice because you know, I'm 40. I'm first time dad at 40, so everybody's got their own take on it, and I've heard it. I've heard a lot of different takes. So if you can offer me something, no, it's okay, honey. You do the honors and feed her. I'm willing to always pay attention in case there's something I haven't heard before. Because that's the thing. Right. All my friends in their 20s and 30s have already done all this. Like, they're laughing at me now because I'm 40. Having a baby, right? So I've heard a lot of advice, but yeah, bring it on, man. Bring on the unsolicited advice.
It's less advice and more observations. A couple of things you're going to notice right out the box. One,
this sounds serious.
You're gonna look at strippers in a whole new light, especially because you have a daughter. Strippers do not land the way they used to. I'm telling you, it's a whole other thing. Strippers will make you sad now, sad like deep down. You're
they always
be like,
they always made me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they always did. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Fortunately. I mean, it's all, it's a whole other vibe in strip joints. I
was that guy when I was like 21 and like 22 and like all my friends were going to like strip clubs and it was cool or whatever. Yeah. And I remember just being like, guys, like she's not in med school. Like, that's a total lie. Like, you know, like she's going home to hit the crack pipe. Like,
that's right. Oh,
I was now, Mr. Realism.
Yeah. Keep it real.
Yeah.
Life of the party. She's stripper. My philosophy used to be, well, strippers happen, but not so much
anymore. I remember that being a big thing for you. Yeah. We talked about it early on that strippers, it's somebody's daughter now, and you're looking at your little one like, shit, that could be mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's a lot of strippers out there because there's a lot of bad dads out there.
Yes.
For sure. There is a correlation.
That's my second point is whether you want to believe it or not, your daughter is a reflection of you in some capacity. So, you know, like Chris Rock says, keep her off the pole.
Yeah.
Shit. I'm going to have that conversation with my dad and be like, all your fault.
You're a success. You never landed on the pole.
Fucking close.
Hand your camera to the other side. What's going on the other side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it's on the other pretty hand? Close right now. It's pretty close.
Also, you're going to notice how much people, this is what I've noticed lately. My kids are a bit older. They're 9 and 10. You're going to notice how much people just don't give a shit about cursing in front of children.
I've been that guy.
Totally a thing. And you're like, what the fuck? There's kids here. Don't you care? And people just don't give a shit anymore about cursing in front of kids.
Yeah, I remember when a buddy of mine's daughter was just getting to be like maybe 6 or 7 and just, you know, being able to like interpret words and ask questions about what does that mean.
Yeah.
I dropped the term cock meat in front of her. And like, yeah, you know, like
in what? Yeah. What? Why? What kind what of context required cock meat, Chris?
Well, we were discussing diet. We were discussing diet, and I was like, I heard if you eat like an excess of almonds and different types of different legumes, that it could help your cock meat situation. Like it could help thicken your cock meat. I believe this is like years ago, but right. It was something to that effect. Maybe it wasn't almonds. Maybe it was something else, but.
You're also a doctor on the side, obviously.
Oh God.
Yeah, I know. I recommend zinc and tonic water to cure COVID.
Oh, hey, no, but I heard zinc for the dink. Is that true? That's a thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, zinc for the dink. Yeah. Ottawa taught me that.
Yeah. It's,
that's a thing. Okay.
Totally. Is that why Ottawa's package is so nice? Is because he takes zinc tablets or?
I don't know, but I'm happy.
There we are. Unofficial advice. Take zinc for the dink.
That's what he says. Zinc for the dink.
But seriously, for like to improve your cock meat or to improve the shot?
I don't know. I really don't know the details. I'm sure you can ask Mr. Google there. I don't know what the details are. That's what he says.
Ottawa, DM me.
last little thing. I saw on your Instagram that your child has projectile poops, which is a thing. But what I want to tell you is you may think your hands are clean after cleaning a diaper. Always look under your ring. Always look under. People forget. They think, oh, my hands are washed. But shit get. Yeah. Smell it. Smell that ring. Exactly.
Put that over there for
a second.
Yeah, you forgot about the ring, eh?
Yeah, there's actually a yellow ring on my finger now underneath the ring.
That's lovely.
And it ain't
nothing. And I don't smoke cigarettes, so it's definitely.
I've been on Chris about this because he's posted a lot about her gas and now he's publicly posted her poop and I've been kind of razzing him about it. Like this little girl, when she's a teen, is going to be like, Dad, what the fuck did you do?
Yeah.
Because now that's out there in the world, you know? And her future boyfriend will just be like, oh, who's your dad? Oh, let me just go stalk his Facebook page. And he's going to see all that. I would kill my dad. I would kill him.
So I have two things for that. First of all, a guy's going to think twice about going for the A if he sees that photo.
Oh my God.
Like, butt
is
stuff.
That your whole plan?
He's going to think twice about butt stuff with my daughter.
Oh, God.
And then two, I think he's really going to said suitor would have to dig pretty deep because think about that's 16 years from now. I mean, I hope 16 years from now, but who
at
knows?
At least. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, is Facebook or is Instagram, is Twitter even going to be a thing? Like, is it going to be the equivalent of MySpace?
Dude, I was
going to
say, like, but still, your MySpace shit was still up there until just a few years ago. Isn't it still somewhere?
But nobody looked at it.
Well, so, I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
Listen, I can tell you from my band demos from 2003, 2004, my garage band, we had a MySpace page. Nobody looked at those. Nobody's headed there, man.
I don't know. I feel like they're going to live forever. And at some point that's going to happen. Like
it might,
your parents post pictures of you with the terrible haircut. Only this is her actual poop. Like it's the whole thing. It's a lot.
I guess I just, you know me, I don't think about that far ahead about things, Melanie, like, I know this.
Yeah.
You know this about me. So, all I'll do in 16 years, if it's a problem, is just, apologize and beg forgiveness like I do with everything else.
That's Chris, a good philosophy.
Chris gives you that like sweet thing. Like, oh, sorry, man.
I'm sorry,
like,
buddy.
Fuck.
Sorry, man.
Can I play some bagpipes for you? Yeah. Smooth things over.
We actually talked about this on the show this morning because we were talking about the whole Britney thing. Obviously, I mean, it's just a wild, wild story. And Chris I thought was, I'll say, man enough to own up to some of the shit that he used to say, because I brought up the fact that, you know, so many people used to make fun of Britney Spears and as she was going through the breakdown. And, you know, I think a lot of people will now be pandering and, oh, poor Britney, like those
backpedaling, talking shit. Oh, right.
Totally. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, sure. People on the air and, you know, magazines like Us Weekly, they were hashtagging Free Britney. And I'm like, you were the magazines that were destroying her, you know?
Yeah.
But Chris, you had said that you had made fun of her back in the
day. Yeah, totally. I did. Yeah. I mean, like, here's the thing, like 70% of the world made fun of her. So now so it bothers me. Like, I want to put that out there to like lead the charge on like, hey, like, I said this shit and I know half of you said it too. So like, stop bullshitting, you know? And I'll admit that, you know, okay, in hindsight, maybe it wasn't all that sensitive. I also went to town on Charlie Sheen back in the day too, when he was having his crazy wizard meltdown, where he's Tiger Wizard or whatever he was calling himself. I mean, that's just what you did back then. Culture's changed now. And I'm like 10% more sensitive at best, but still, like, enough that I can admit when I was wrong about something and when I can see somebody who's struggling or has been struggling secretly for years, as we found out with Britney. Yeah, I'm the first one to admit it. Yeah, for sure. It sucks. And it was shitty that I did that, you know. Yeah, I probably still, I mean, if I took a time machine back and I was the same guy back then, I'd probably still do it again. But like, I still feel bad.
Yeah. But I think there needs to be that grace, as with other things, social things that are happening right now. Give people the opportunity to repent, ask forgiveness, and learn and go forward a better person. I think you need that. Or then what's the point of ever apologizing? Mm-hmm. What are apologies for if you can't be taken a second chance, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree.
Well, the thing that irks me, though, and the reason, and I'm sure a lot of people feel like that when they see things like Us Weekly posting, like, they're in support of her all of a sudden, you know, Justin Timberlake, I'm supporting her all of a sudden. Like,
yeah, Justin tore her down just as bad as anyone
exactly.
else.
Like, where were you then? You know, how do you not know this stuff?
How quickly we forget our number one hit, Cry Me a River.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. Yeah. That whole thing, though, did you listen to the tapes, JJ?
No, I didn't. I just saw a report on everything that's going on with her right now and her dad.
I heard them. Yeah. Well, I heard them through Melanie listening to them. And yeah, they were, I mean, I listened to them. I'm like, she's legit. Like, you know, when Christine Blasey Ford was testifying because of the Supreme Court in the United States about that Brett Kavanaugh, who did become a Supreme Court judge in the US. But, you know, when she got on the stand and it's like, you watched her testimony and you're like, she's not making that up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless she's the best actress of all time, in which case she'd be in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Then no, she's not making that up. And I listened to those tapes of Britney and I'm like, no, that's for real. That has all happened to her. And I believe every second of it, you know?
Yeah. 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 Me too. I think it's like a little more shocking to hear like how, you know, obviously like the main points that, I mean, everyone's already hit, but like, the IUD situation, she has no autonomy over her own body. She couldn't choose to have a child if she wanted to, couldn't get an IUD out. Like, this is like real life slave shit, you know? Yeah. Like,
I mean, you don't have to be in a cage.
I'm thinking, and I'm thinking as a daughter, you know, just that's your dad doing that to you. Like, we just finished talking about, you know, I think of my dad as a hero, your brand new dad, Chris, like, you know, it just putting yourself in that position. I don't know if money fucks people like that, but to do that to your own daughter, like, I just.
Oh, there are R. Kelly victims who are like, shit, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like there are people out there who have had pretty rough go being like, ooh, that's as bad, you know, as what I had to go through, right?
The Jacksons are all like, holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Sorry, is that tasteless? I don't.
No, not in my book.
But I mean, a lot of people are saying too, like, everybody's got a fucking hot take and, you know, everyone's like talking about her mental health. So that's the big thing that's coming up, that, you you know, she's grown and she's almost 40 now, and like her mental health is in a different place. But still, even saying that, I hate people saying that because we don't know. There's no confirmation that anything, she was diagnosed with anything. We don't know her personal life. We don't know if she was actually having a mental health breakdown. She had some alleged addiction stuff going on. We don't even know for sure.
Yeah.
So everyone who's like protecting her, was, you know, The View, they were talking about it today. Everyone's talking about it. And it's like, well, she went through this mental health breakdown. You don't really know if that's what happened. So even saying that right now is dangerous, you know? And I'm like, to me, I said it to Chris on the air this morning. I think we talked about that back in the day. I felt like when she shaved her head and she did the things that she did, it was because she didn't want to sell her body anymore for her dad. Yes. You know, it's like
she wanted to disrupt the image that her dad was creating for her as an act of rebellion.
So was that an actual mental breakdown? Maybe not. Like, it was probably so deliberate. And I mean, I'm just guessing, but obviously, but I mean, we can't say that there was an actual mental health breakdown.
But it was so easy for the media or the tabloids or for the Chris's of the world to, you know, to immediately go to, she done lost her mind. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was so easy to make that jump, you know?
Yeah, sure I feel like it was a big fuck you to her dad at the time. That's what I feel like. And, you know, based on that testimony yesterday, she said, you know, like, I've been working for them, like making all this money and they own every part of me. Yeah. Like, it's awful. Yeah. I can't even believe that's allowed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that's really messed up. And I was toying with the idea, like, you know, I've had to put a few nice pictures of my baby on online, you know, like obviously there's the poop pictures, but I put some pretty cute ones. And like, we had a photo shoot the other day, which I haven't put those pictures up. And like, she looks incredible. Like, she's the cutest little thing ever. And I was toying with the idea, sitting staring at the wall the other night. I'm like, I wonder if we could get her to be a baby model. Like, I wonder about that. Like, we could use some cash flow right now.
Right.
You know, maybe. But then I was like, no. And then I was like, I literally said, I don't want to be Lindsay Lohan's dad. I don't want to be Macaulay Culkin's parents. I don't want to be Britney Spears' dad. Yeah. That was the immediate response that I got back. So I guess this is growing up.
Yeah. My wife won't let me do it. My daughter's in a movie and I kind of did it not behind my wife's back, but without her knowing. I sent in some pictures and whatnot to this casting agent. And I was shocked that they were like, yeah, we want her in the flick. And my wife was like, it's going to be one and done. We're not going down this route. It's not going to be a thing. And in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, maybe I should not have done that. My daughter was super excited to be a part of it, but that world, I mean, it nurtures a certain kind of personality and a certain kind of, for lack of a better term, damage can potentially come from that type of world and the influence and the money. And I like to think I'm a better person than Britney Spears' dad or Joe Jackson, but you never know. You know, people get put in these situations where you start talking about millions of dollars and
just, you know, one more, you know,
it would be easy to immediately see them quickly. If the millions are pouring in, like if you're a movie star like Macaulay Culkin or you're a pop star like Michael Jackson, you know, like it would be easy to just start looking at them as income, as your, you know, like at your, like a pimp would look at their prostitute.
Totally.
You know,
at some point that switch happens where it's like, this isn't my child. This is my business, my income, as you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like when it's millions of dollars and they're invested, they're all the way in, you know, they've got, I don't know what expense on the back. Like that's what they're thinking about. My daughter, I had her in modeling when she was young too. And it was such a commitment for parents. Like that's the problem too with it is I can't speak for all, but most parents who have their children in stuff like that, it becomes your job too. You got to drive them there. You got to do the auditions. You have to stay with them all day. These are like 14, 15 hour days. So you're really not working. So they are working for the family. You kind of don't have a choice. And that's why I pulled mine out. I was like, I can't do this. It's too much of a commitment. She's going to have to decide later on in life if she wants to continue with it.
Yeah. And what you just said there, I could see the potential for a parent to start thinking, well, I'm working just as hard as she is.
Yeah.
I'm entitled to that. And then you start to, you know, talk yourself into some lunacy. And then when they become teenagers and it's getting closer to them taking over their own money, and mm-hmm. parents and teenagers have those relationships, and then the parents are like, oh shit, I hope they don't cut me off because they're my bread and butter. And it just turns to, you know.
Yeah. Well, and also it's, you know, just child stars in general, no matter whether it's movies or TV or music or whatever,
modeling, yeah.
It never works out well. They never have a good life. Have you, like, we've done this before, Melanie and I, a long time ago, a couple of years ago on the show, we were talking about child stars and like, we were trying to come up with like some child stars that turned out okay. Like, Ron Howard, you know, Opie from, you know, what was that old black Andy Griffith show? Mm-hmm. You know, he turned into a world-class movie director and Happy Days. And, you know, and he's probably the most normal child star you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
But it's like, think about the Coreys, Feldman. Yeah. I mean, like, you go down the list of child stars, it's never been good. River Phoenix offed himself, you know? I mean, like, you know, drugs and everything. So there's so many pitfalls there that, I mean, I would panic to put my kid into that kind of situation.
Well, you know, and I, working in this career, we've had a lot of opportunity to interview some really, really big stars, and you know,
well, good for you, because
Chris, well, not as much.
Well, I mean, listen, I have some big Canadian stars.
Yes,
but yeah,
not big stars.
Yeah, but there's something. I don't know. Like, we've had some of the biggest, and they were so kind. Like Beyonce. Beyonce was super kind. I always go back to her, but she's super kind. Janet Jackson, super kind. But
drop another one.
John Legend.
Oh yeah, super kind. Super kind.
Oh yeah.
Enrique Iglesias.
Who's hottest the guy fuck. From hottest NCIS? Fuck. Who's the guy from NCIS?
Oh fuck.
From Criminal Minds.
Oh, that JJ, you'll remember that. What's his name? My mom's obsession. The one that was trying to date me there.
Oh, Shamar
Moore.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he's a, well, I've already said it. He's a dog. but no, like, they're all like, most of them, Adam Levine was a bit of a douchebag. Do you remember him?
You can't stop dropping names, can you?
I'm having fun dropping names right now. I'm allowed. It's okay.
Adam Levine, a douchebag? Never would have guessed it.
I do have a fucking point here. Okay? So fuck you. But yes, I don't mind sharing that. But no, he was a bit douchey. But there is, what I was trying to say is that there is this like weird energy around them. It doesn't matter how nice they're trying to be or down to earth. They are not in a normal world.
No. Like,
no way as a human being getting all like primped and propped and touched and, you know, all the time, everyone's making you perfect. Everything is, yes, you have all access to everything in the world. Everyone's screaming for you. There is no way you can be normal. You cannot. You can be the most grounded, centered person in the world, be meditating fucking all day long. You will there's just this weird energy around them. And for me, always felt it in the room.
Yeah.
Didn't get starstruck, but had this like kind of nervousness, like, oh, they are not like me at all. Like,
yeah. They're on a different level.
On the same plane. Like, it's just like next level shit. And they all try to be kind, but you can sense this thing about them.
Yeah.
You know, and it changes. Like, to me, I guess as a parent, I worried about that too. Like, I'm scared of what that she would become like. You know, that's scary. It's a totally different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I in the same vein, I feel like here's a star that I'd interview if we're just name dropping. Sheryl Crow. There's a household name.
There you go. Nice.
And I remember thinking at the time that I remember at first everyone's like, oh, she's so down to earth. Like everyone who was in the room for the interview. Right. But she also requested no photos. This is before, like, this is early radio, like before the internet was a thing. And you had to have a photo, or you had to have an Instagram, or you had to have, like, that wasn't even Facebook. I don't even think this is MySpace days probably. And I remember she was like, no photographs. And I was like, but it was done through her management to our promo people. So it wasn't her saying that to us.
Right.
But then she came in and she was so nice and everyone was like, oh, she's so down to earth. But I got the vibe that she looked in the mirror in her dressing room before she came for the interview, because it was at the arena that she was performing in. And I think she just looked in the mirror and said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be so down to earth. You know what I mean? I felt like
talked herself into it. Be real.
But I think a lot of big stars are hilarious. Like that. Like they live on this secondary plane, this other level of life and lifestyle.
Yeah.
That they have to remind themselves or put themselves into that mentality to be normal when they're coming to meet normal people, if you will. Like
they really are the aliens on this planet. They're Earth.
It's true.
Aliens.
I was listening to a very wealthy woman. She does a, I won't name drop, but she's very wealthy. She's a celebrity.
Thank you for your restraint.
I don't see why there's no.
Did you interview her, Melanie?
I did not. I'm proud of that stuff. But yeah, like, and she was talking about the woman who recently woke up and she had $1 billion in her account.
Oh shit. I didn't hear about that.
You didn't hear this
Let's
story?
Talk about that.
Oh yeah. 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 She woke up and she had $1 billion in her account. Wow. She's an older lady. I think she was from Florida. And,
of course,
I was just going to say,
she thought she only had $20. So she went to take out the 20 and then that was the receipt. And she's been trying to get a hold of the bank. I can't remember which one it is. Chase, I think it is. And they haven't returned her calls and she still has this $1 billion in there. But the girl who was talking about it, who happens to be famous and wealthy, said, can you imagine having like just $20 in your account though? Like, wow.
I mean, like most people in
that's
the
what
world.
I said. I'm like, yo, bitch, I'm living paycheck to paycheck right now.
You've never had to go to couch cushions to find gas money.
That's Do you know what I mean? I was like, wow. And that it reiterating how out of touch.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bashing or whatever. It's just the reality of when you're elevated like that by society. Everyone's looking up at you and putting you on this pedestal and you're just so this and that and giving you fucking money. You forget that. Yeah. People have $20 in their account. Like that fucking happens.
And when you're that at that level too, like let's say of fame, think about all the free stuff that rolls in.
Oh God.
Like,
yeah.
Do you think George Clooney buys his own Nespresso pods?
No.
You know, like
I mean, those for life, baby.
Yeah,
exactly. Like think about the free stuff that rolls in. Like we have to pay for Nespresso pods like everyone else in this household. You know, we got to buy this. We got to, but all that just all of a sudden just starts rolling in at you nonstop, you know?
Yeah.
Like I wish I could be like Joe Rogan and just get a new Traeger grill on my deck, like just for mentioning them once, you know?
Yeah. We try it all the time on this podcast. We don't get any.
Well, can I try it right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Traeger.
I love the Audi A4 S line.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Fantastic.
It's part of the Audi fam.
If you get an Audi and we don't, I'll be pissed.
Well, I've got one actually, but
well,
he does.
But I've driven it up and down the 400 for 2 years solid. It's got 2 years of stone chips and the paint's all effed up on it and it's burning oil. It's time for it's going to be I'm never going to own an Audi ever again. So I was trying to get a free one there. See if I can get a second one.
Yeah.
Look,
we're trying to get free tequila and it hasn't happened yet. Nope. I don't think you're getting
it. We got one free can of beer today.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that about radio, the free beer that we get a lot of free beer back in the day.
Yeah. First can.
Chris and I have talked about that a few times because just for reference, Chris, you haven't worked in Toronto radio.
Well, I did.
I'm like, Chris, you haven't been in. But there's a big difference. There's so much free shit when you're working in Toronto.
Yeah, I got a taste of it a little bit. Hamilton was pretty good. Hamilton.
Okay.
And we're after different things. So like when I worked at radio stations, like in Hamilton, especially if I just got my hands on like free whiskey, free concert tickets. Like that was really all I cared about.
Yeah.
And I got my fill, like I got my fill of concert tickets and backstage and all that stuff.
What
like,
were you at Y108?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I did afternoons there for a couple of years.
In that the building on Main?
Yeah. Main and Longwood.
Yeah.
Y108 World Headquarters.
I worked in that building too. The old energy building.
Yeah.
So speaking of radio, now that we've kind of transitioned into that a little bit, Mel, you had a little thing for Chris and I, as your former co-host and your current co-host?
Yeah. So I just wanted, I'm not trying to make this all about me, but I'm totally trying to make this all about me.
We love you. No. Make it about
that's
you.
That's what I do. I was waiting for y'all to start roasting me, but what? Okay, there you go. But I came up with just a few little rando questions, and I wanted to see out of the two of you, which one actually knows me. Because I have a feeling neither of you listen to me most of the time. So I just wanted to throw out a quiz. Yeah, exactly.
What's that?
Sorry, I was just getting...
Shut up. Okay, so I'm going to ask you each a few questions. Okay, first question. What's my favorite drink aside from tequila?
Mushroom teeth. Chaga mushroom teeth.
That's pretty good, Chris. I do love my chaga coffee.
I'm going to say red wine with a charcuterie board side.
Let me reference the last two fucking episodes of the podcast for that.
JJ, I can't believe you don't know what charcuterie is, dude.
Fucking have no idea. Still, I'm trying to forget what I've learned about charcuterie boards. Speaking of being aliens on this planet, what the fuck?
Charcuterie is another word for privilege.
Yes. Yes. Bingo.
I love JJ said, if you guys haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to it. I was trying to school JJ on what charcuterie boards are. And JJ said, we call those just like snacks, like
snack plates.
It's a plate of snacks.
Yeah.
Like, that's true. Okay. You're both fucking wrong, by the way. Thank you for knowing me. Mojitos. Duh.
Oh,
you're looking at me like that's new news. Oh my God. Okay. Where did I dance on stage with Prince?
At the ACC.
Yeah. Look at Chris. I'm going to
I was going to say Maple Leaf Gardens.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Where did my fiance work?
The police.
Ooh, close.
Crime Stoppers.
He worked for
yes.
Oh, I was gonna say he worked for Max Milk Security.
Look at you guys. Damn. Okay. What's one of my biggest turn-offs? What's one of my biggest turn-offs for guys?
Dutch oven.
Fuck Farts. JJ. Sorry. That is one.
Sorry, what your the things that guys do that turn you off, Mel?
Yeah.
You
especially now.
Fish hook you with dirty hands.
I don't know what that is.
The mouth thing.
Yeah, you do that to Melanie?
No.
Fingers in her mouth?
In general.
You, JJ, you remember where I got Gordia from was the fingers in the mouth.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I see. Right. Okay.
Okay, you're kind of both right, but you're also kind of both wrong.
Good story.
Fish pictures.
Sorry, go back. I missed the question. Start again.
What turns me off the most with guys? Fish pictures and their loud, stupid ass cars.
Yeah.
Oh.
Those stupid loud mufflers. I hate those. If you show up like that, it's over.
Not a muffler. It's the lack thereof. It's called straight pipes. Normally they have a cardboard spoiler on the back of the car.
Cardboard. Nice.
Yeah. That's Welfare and the Furious.
I just wonder how anybody thinks that hot. That's hot. But okay. What kind of animal have I always dreamed of holding?
Holding?
A beaver.
No.
JJ, do you even know me?
Holding?
A penguin. A penguin.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
JJ, a penguin. Watch Penguin Town on Netflix. It's so fucking cute. What's my favorite swear word?
Cunt.
No.
It's so great that you said that because I was thinking of JJ.
I love this so much.
Cock meat.
I actually just learned that tonight. Thank you, Chris. Shit balls.
Yes.
Know this.
Balls of shit.
Okay. Who is my mom's favorite singer?
Elvis.
Yes.
Beat me to
it. What is my mom's name?
Jerry.
JJ, you had that one too. I can tell.
Jolene.
Jolene.
Isn't it Jolene?
It's Geraldine.
Geraldine, fuck. Yes.
But also Jerry.
Okay.
What is one of my irrational fears? Totally irrational.
Go ahead.
I was going to say aging.
Oh, that's a good one. But I would not consider that.
But it's irrational, Melanie, because you're ageless.
Oh, can we just go there?
You got to work with her tomorrow. I can tell.
TGIF show tomorrow.
He knows what's up. yes, that's a huge one. But I would say that's rational because that's like true. It happens.
I would say that the world will fall off its axis and will go plummeting into oblivion.
I feel like that's your fear, JJ.
Oh, yes.
Spiders. Spiders.
Oh, yes.
Terrified. Okay, which celebrity man bun makes me weak in the knees?
Momoa.
Yeah. Okay.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Okay. I'll ask you this last question. You both should know this. What did I do to the white pants?
You dyed them brown.
I'm gonna say you dyed them red.
Now, yeah, we talked about this on the show, on both shows.
You know,
well,
I was right.
I don't have to say it. Yeah.
Oh, the poop story, right? Of course, yeah.
Did you know that?
I wanted someone else to say it.
Chris, did you know that for 7 years I called Melanie Poopy Pants, and then on the seventh year she actually pooped her pants?
That's
what
so
are
funny.
The fucking odds?
Oh,
that?
I thought the nickname was because of the
No. 7 whole years I was calling her Poopy Pants.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yes,
it was a total thing.
What are the fucking odds? Chris, what is there anything you can tell me about Melanie that you've discovered?
Oh boy.
In the last 4 years working together, you're like, holy shit, this is the same Melanie that worked at Flow. I didn't realize she was fill in the blank.
Such an asshole.
Surprising.
I was gonna say Melanie's more rock and roll than she gives herself credit for.
Oh.
In the same way that Melanie, you even said, you got a little hood in you. You said that to me a few times. Like, I do get my rap on and stuff. But, like, Melanie, it's not so much that she listens to rock and roll, but she does have the, I'm going to say that this is really honest and authentic to myself, Melanie.
Okay.
But you are more authentic than I thought you were when I first met you.
Ooh.
You are deeper and a more authentic and the more that time has gone on, Melanie has I think gotten more in touch with herself and the things that are more important to actual true happiness than some of the things that initially when I first met Melanie that she would think about that would think would make her happy. But I was like, nah, she's got it all wrong. I think she's got her wires less crossed now than ever. And that's
part of
the
maturing.
And so when I say rock and roll, I mean truth and authenticity and being true to yourself.
Aw, yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Very lovely.
Really sweet. JJ, do
you know me. I don't hold any punches. I just say it as it is.
Yeah. Call them how you see them.
That's nice. Great.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up on a nice high note.
Yeah. I'm going to
go. I'll go to the back deck and get my high note on.
Are you smoking as much weed as you used to? I know that you're a weed guy. No, you're off.
No, I went like all time record. I think the longest that I've gone without weed is like a 1 week all inclusive in Mexico or like Cuba, you know, cause you don't want to try and get weed there.
No.
And if you do, it's not any good, but, I think I went 2 weeks after the baby was born, like just because you're so busy. Yeah. I found out that I smoke weed because I'm bored or because nobody's around and I'm just, you know, do morning radio and the wife's working and I'm hanging out of the house all day by myself. Well, I might as well just have another one, you know, like and so, you know, when I'm busy, I don't find the time for it. Obviously. When things settle down at the end of the day and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, all right, I think I got a window. I think I can sneak out to the deck or I can sneak out to the garage. But like when I'm looking after the baby or when I'm, today I was at the dump, I had to do a dump run, you know, our old house, throw all the trash out, take the couch out, you know, and all that stuff. You know, when I'm doing that stuff, I'm not like sitting there going like, oh, I want to get high. Oh, I want to smoke some weed. You know, I'm like, it's not even on my mind. It's not even on my mind. It's when life settles down for a second. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to get high. So
I feel like I think we talked about this before too. Like having a kid changed my drug habits. Like it wasn't habitual, but just right. The habits in general. Like I remember I did shrooms and she was, I don't know, like maybe 8-ish at the time. And she got sick. She was with a babysitter, like her grandmother. I shouldn't say call her a babysitter. She was with her grandmother. She'd kill me.
Jerry.
On the other side. Yeah. And she had her for the weekend, but she got sick and she ended up getting a really high fever and she had to go to the hospital.
Oh shit.
And here I fucking am tripping out on shrooms, like just like peaking, not having a good trip. I hadn't done them in a while. My girlfriend Debbie and I were doing them. We were just like in another space. And then I get this call and I'm like, I don't know. I like, oh my God. Cause like, and I'm panicking about her. Cause you know how much you love your children when you have them. Now you know, Chris, there's this like feeling and just terrified. And then I'm like, how am I going to walk into the hospital and feel normal? And like, if I'm going to freak out in front of her. And I swore off it after that. I never did any of that stuff anymore. I was like always really careful for that reason.
Yeah.
But I always felt like if there's an emergency, how am I going to manage this ever? Even if she's, you know, not with me for the weekend, if something major happens, I need to always kind of be somewhat present.
It's true.
And I mean, with the ganja, I feel like I can deal with a baby. Yeah. I can deal with a baby emergency on the ganja, but like, that was the one thing. It's like the due date was literally days surrounding my birthday. So like, I wanted to do magic mushrooms on my birthday, but I'm like, nope, I can't. I'm not going to be high on magic mushrooms when we go into the hospital and this is delivering. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's a green alien coming out. Like, you
know, look at the galaxy. Like she's.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so I made the right choice there for sure.
Chris, thank you for coming on the podcast today, man. You want to plug your stuff?
Oh yeah. So the podcast is on hiatus right now because the studio is a mess and I just moved and all that other stuff. Yeah. My last episode a couple of weeks back was with my best friend's dad, who is an indigenous author. He has a 3-book series and his 4th book is coming out in August. I didn't do a lot of talking. He just did all the talking and I was perfectly happy to sit back and listen.
What's his name?
The latest episode in there. But there's interviews with a lot of Canadian stars, like John Angus, who's the guitar player from the band The Trues. The guys from The Tragically Hip, a couple of them have been on as guests as well. And a variety of just good, honest, authentic chats. Talk a little drugs, talk a little sex, talk a little rock and roll, a bit of everything. Yes. And so it's called Big Chris Live, Chris with a K, K-R-I-S, and it's in Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and find it out
and,
there.
And deanblundell.net.
Oh yeah. .com. Yeah. We can't do a podcast together without plugging.
Without mentioning Dean.
deanblundell.com.
Chris often says that we're the land of misfit toys, which is pretty accurate. We were also on his podcast. Both JJ and I made an appearance and there is a dick episode. And that got Chris in trouble with Facebook. So if you want to go back and see it, it's
That's episode 5 or 6. And let me tell you, Facebook is crushing me now. The algorithm is working way against me. Nobody sees my stuff anymore. So it really at the time it felt great and it felt awesome.
Buddy.
It felt awesome and rebellious.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, this is really impeding my podcast growth. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. Cock meat screwed you over. Damn it.
Yeah. Yes, it was the cock meat.
Thank you to all our Patreon friends who support us every week on the podcast, every month rather on the podcast. We know that you could spend your money.
But hey, if you want to do it weekly, like
do the thing, man. Do it up. We super appreciate you. If you would like to be like them, you can, or you don't have to do whatever the fuck you want, but we'd appreciate it. Patreon.com/unfilteredJJM. Thank you for comments, likes, the 5 stars, 3, 4, 2, and 1 stars. It's okay. Don't bother. Just give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
And That's it for us for a couple of weeks. Please go back and you can binge the former episodes of the podcast. There's not that many up right now, but I promise you over the course of the summer that we're off, I'll go back and I'll do some editing and I'll get some of those old episodes back. Not all of them.
No.
So much, but some of the really good ones. The top 10.
we're gonna pick our favorites. If That's you right. haven't, we got in trouble for having music, so we got to go back and fix those.
Yeah, you guys got in trouble for music. I get in trouble for dicks. I mean, you can't stay out of trouble.
It's true.
We really are misfits. I mean, that's what it is.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much. There's a show.
That's a show.
Have a good one.